You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Tom, we're going to end with the order stuff, but I do want to start with a great story that you put me on to, how this there was a 22-year-old kid who found like a VIP pass and just used it to the best of his advantage at a college football game.
Yeah, and not just any game, Greggs. It was the Texas A&M Alabama game that A&M won. So this was like a crazy game. Whoever follows college football or football in general knows how big of a game that was. This guy was at a tailgate party, finds this pass, says VIP, says, how is this going to work to my advantage? So he goes up to the gate, shows it to the people at the door. They're like, yep, come on in. And he goes, I could go sit in the nosebleeds or I could try to get down to field level. Pushes his way down to field level, shows his pass, says he's a recruit for A&M. They're like, yeah, okay. So he's kind of like loitering and he puts on a Latino accent because his parents are from Mexico, grew up in San Antonio and is bilingual. So he speaks Spanish and he puts on a Latino accent and he starts saying that he's a kicking recruit as a kicker for A&M. And they're like, okay. And they bring him to the field level seats, Greggs, with all the other recruits. The other recruits who had been at A&M all day kind of looked at him. They're like, where you been, man? And he started like speaking broken English and was like, I got lost, got confused. And they're like, oh, cool. A&M wins that game on the last second field goal, the rush on the field. He runs into the backup field goal kicker with the accent, says, I'm a recruit. And the guy's like, okay, come with me. Ends up in the locker room partying with the team. And of course, you know what, Greggs? Documents it all on TikTok. It's 2021 after all.
Oh, jeez. Classic.
Here's the kicker.
Not that we recommend falsifying who you are. But
right. And the VIP pass he found was for a pregame party at some bar outside the stadium put on by a radio station. So it wasn't even for the game. It was for some party.
Well, you know what? You only live once, I guess.
Well done.
Well done. Really, at the end, like that's a harmless, quasi-illegal thing to do. So not the... I guess if you're going to do something that's a little bit shady, then do something like that, that at the end of the day really doesn't hurt you. When you see there was a release of the college football head coach's salaries, and man, Nick Saban's like $9.7 million. Ed Orgeron from Louisiana State is $9 million. David Shaw, $8.9 from Standard. Dave O'Sweeney from Clemson is $8.3 million. Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, $7.6 million. But the Louisiana State, how was their head coach at $9 million? All right, I guess, that's LSU. I was just having a brain fart there. Louisiana State. Sorry, they didn't have the university at the end, got me distracted. But, man, you look at how many, you see why the head coaches in college ranks, plus all the control they have with it, is mind blowing. You can see why they have it. And it's great that they get it. I don't have a problem with people. If somebody's going to pay you the money, awesome. To me, though, the concern is the amount of power that comes with their salary.
And that comes with job security, too. I mean, these are massive schools, and their football programs are raking in, like, what, hundreds of millions? They're basically funding all the athletic programs. And this was a shocker. Like, they put out the refresh list, and that's interesting to look at and all that, and you go, wow, that's a ton of money for a college football coach. But I remember when I was living in OKC during that last lockout when the Barons were still the farm team for the Oilers, and going to the OU Notre Dame game and just the people around town saying, yeah, don't you know that college football coaches in a lot of states are the highest paid person in the entire state? And I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. And that's what kind of switched me on to finally understanding how much money these guys make. Add to that, they get sponsorships on the side. These are just their salaries. They get other kickbacks. It's incredible. And then on top of that, you're right. Like, hey, the glory of the NFL, chasing a Super Bowl is amazing. Yeah, it comes with a lot of money and a huge spotlight. but so too does college football coaches and their positions. And then the other thing, like you said, the control, power, and job security. When you have unlimited funds to go and recruit the best players in high school and you get 9 out of the 10 you want every year, that's very lucrative, and it tells you a lot about the power of college football.
Yeah, for sure. Now you look at the orders. They're taking on the Flames tomorrow. You got the Elks versus the Bombers tonight. I think most people are expecting the Elks to lose. You know, will they cover the spread is probably the best question. My question, though, is more so, let's say they lose like we expect. It's a bye week coming up. Do they make a change in management?
Oh, man. I think a change, I feel like a change is coming, but why right now, Greggs? That's the thing. Like, the rest of the season will likely be pain and suffering. Tonight's probably going to be tough. If they cover the spread, that'd be amazing. I think Hansen might be the highlight tonight, to be honest with you, if you're going down to the game. But I think the change will come. Maybe Harris gets traded. We saw, you know, our buddy Justin Dunk put out an article today saying he's on the block. A couple teams need quarterbacks. Harris had some good starts early in the season. And I think, yeah, the winds of change are indeed coming, but maybe at the end of the season, Greggs. That is my instinct. I could be wrong, unless things are so toxic or so rotten that they need to do it now and get it taken care of. But probably the strategic smart thing is to wait till the end of the year, clear out everything, and then start from square one.
Oilers, Zach Cassian, not 100% certain he'll play. Pretty good chance, but not 100%. He has to pass one more test tomorrow, according to Dave Tippett. And if he's in, then Sevier comes out. Back end, we do know that Slater Cuckoo will make his season debut. Chris Russell comes out. They'll probably rotate a little bit back there. Mike Smith will start again, which means Mikko Koskinen, based on everything Tippett said all year, I think Mikko Koskinen, win or lose, or a shutout or whatever, will likely start Tuesday against the Anaheim Ducks. The Oilers' top two lines will stick together. And the Nugent Hopkins Hyman line was clearly the Oilers' best line on Wednesday. And that's a good thing. They win a game without the top line being their best line. I kind of just have a sense that McDavid and Draisaitl might be due for a dominant performance on Saturday.
They beat the Flames with speed. They're going to have the adrenaline of playing in their first game. They've been waiting for almost a week, watching every other team start their season. The Flames will be amped up, but just try to beat them with speed. I think that's the key against Calgary. Greg's that defense, you know, Hanifin's great, Rasmus Anderson, he's a pest to Oilers players and fans, I get it, but I think for the most part, there's not a lot of team speed there, and remember, no Blake Coleman for Calgary, he's still suspended, and that's kind of a big loss up front for them too, so beat him with speed, you know how to beat Jacob Markstrom, you've played against him the last, what, 6-7 years. The recipe for success is there. I like that the Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, Yamamoto line had a good night, and it keeps the naysayers a little bit quiet. And if the Oilers can continue to attack with depth and layers of offense, this could be a fun, enjoyable season. And then let's see what happens. Get nervous by postseason time, but we're only going into game 2. Attack with speed, Greggs. That's the key.
What time's your pregame show tomorrow?
We go at 6:30. Very excited, as always. We'll take you right up to puck drop, and then the Latino Heat will swap in for Connor Halley, and we'll take you into the night, and it's going to be a nice little weekend. How does that sound?
Awesome. All right, Tommy, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Greggs. Have a good weekend, my friend.